This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I'm Véronique.
And I'm Sylvia.
Welcome to the High Vibes and a Mic podcast,
where multicultural moms connect.
Nelly is an author, speaker, and family life and leader coach who focuses on helping parents love and lead their teen daughters in a way that teaches them to love and lead themselves while building a strong foundation of worth, esteem, and confidence in them and with them all before they leave home. She is a wife and a mom to four teenage daughters, a retired homeschool parent, and an adventure chaser. Her career is in biology and psychology. Having two daughters myself, I was very excited to speak with Nelly. Hi, Nelly. Thank you for joining us today. I mean, joining me because Sylvia is not here today. How are you?
I am so good. Thank you for having me.
So my first question for you will be, so you did you choose to homeschool your four girls?
I did choose that.
Why?
Free will, you know? Why?
Okay.
Oh, goodness. So that was, at the time I had a kindergartner, two second graders, because I have twins in the middle, and then a fifth grader. And we had really, you know, we had just done stuff with my oldest, especially as so you and, you know, your listeners can relate to. When she was small, I would just teach her things, right? And I didn't know any better. It was just the two of us for at least 2 years anyway, before I got pregnant with the twins. And so I would just teach her stuff. Well, she started really picking up on things. And then that took us into this weird trajectory of like special schools, you know, I air quote here. And my husband and I are just public school kids, you know, through and through. And so this whole world of, oh, she, you know, we took her to one school and they said she can't come here because she's already surpassed everything that people have done, all the students. And I was like, well, where do I take her now? You know, I wasn't one of those parents that was like, well, of course she can't, right? You know, she's special. I was like, what do you mean? Like, I don't know what to do. So anyway, all that to say, our journey in education has been topsy-turvy, year-by-year assessment, to say, you know, the least. And so she went from private schools to special schools to public because let me just tell you that those private schools, they have a hefty tuition. And I had three kids coming in behind her. And I look at my husband and I'm like, we're going to have to live in a box. You know, we're just going to have to live in a box if we're going to be paying this these school tuitions. So we put her into public, but it really wasn't a good fit for her back then. So and I saw the same thing starting to happen with her sisters. And so we moved across the country just for quality of life. We moved from the Midwest over to the East Coast. And I was like, well, if we're making this one big move, we might as well make two really big moves and start homeschooling, right? Just throw everything in there. And so that's when we did in 2015, we started homeschooling and again, kindergartner, second grade, fifth grade. And it was great. I did it for 7 years and I didn't go into it with any other plan except for we're going to try it out for this year. We're going to see how this year goes and then we'll assess from there. And then the next year it was, we're going to try it again for this year and we'll see how it goes and go from there. And so, you know, it it was a learning experience for me, a learning curve for me. You know, so many people tell me, oh, you must have so much patience. You must, you know, be such a great teacher. I was like, oh, I have zero patience, actually. I have zero patience. And I'm better now. Not great, but better now. But it really was a learning experience for me. It was a learning experience for the kids. And I just remember the last day we homeschooled, which was almost 2 years ago now. And the very last line, because you can homeschool 1,000 different ways, but I did it in the way that I stood up at the board and I wrote down notes and they took notes. And it was the way I knew how to do school. I had taught college before, but I had never taught kindergarten before. So anyway, I would do that. And I was reading them a history book, and the very end of the history book said, there's still so much more yet to be discovered. And I was like, I just lost it. Of course I did. I cry on a dime, but I lost it. And all the girls came up and gave me hugs. And I will just always remember that moment. And we had gone through it. We had sludged through it. We had paraded through it. We had succeeded through it together, but it was something we all did together. And it was really a beautiful experience. So
I really admire you, because I know that's something I couldn't do, especially for 4 kids. So when you do the homeschooling, it's up to which grade?
You can do it all the way through if you want. But for me, I did. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, you can. Wow. I have several friends that their kids never went to school outside of the home, and they did it all the way through. And then some of them went to a university, and some did university at home as well until they went into their career field. So, and you can really do it so many different ways. And there's homeschooling groups, and there's co-ops, and et cetera, et cetera. So, but for me, we wanted to make sure that our daughters had some experience out in the world where we could help them navigate it before they left home. And, you know, we don't live in a place that has a, you know, a wonderful, wonderful school system. They're fine, and they're suitable, I guess. But we knew that if they went into the school system, they were going to have challenges. But we wanted to help them face those challenges and navigate them before they were just thrown out into the world and said, you know, good luck, here you go. So that's what we did. Once they hit 9th grade for my oldest, and then she went off into a private school, and then a public later, and then a co-op, or a dual enrolled with college. And then my twins left at high school. And then my fourth child, she is an extreme extrovert, much like my husband, not much like me. And so she would definitely not have done well home alone with schooling, because she thrives and gets all of her energy off of being around people. So we did move her into school at 7th grade instead of having her stay home until 9th, which for her, that was a good decision. And that's the thing with all of this. You need to make the right decision for your family and the right decision for each individual child going through this. And so, you know, she's going into public school this upcoming year, and she will be the first of our daughters to go into a public school at 9th grade. My twins went in at 10th grade. My oldest went in at 11th grade. So it was just the right path for them. So
that's great that you can recognize, you know, each kid, you know, is different, and you can recognize, oh, this one needs to go to public school earlier. And you're not stubborn saying, you know, I don't want to teach them, their school are not good, and I'm going to homeschool them until the end. I think that's a great attitude. So. Yeah. So the fact that you homeschool them, and you said you wanted to give them, you know, tools for the world and everything, that's the fact that you wrote those 2 books that we're going to talk about, is it coming from them, from that you homeschool them and you realize, oh, I need to bring them more? Because I saw that you have this book, it's called I really love it, 40 Scriptures and Conversation to Have When Raising Daughters. Mm-hmm. And so where is that coming from? How did you have the idea to use the Bible to help your children?
Well, so our family, we did not grow up in faith-based homes. We both grew up in several, what's the word I'm looking for? Like general homes, I guess. And just lost my word there. I'm human. It happens. But anyway, too. Yeah. None of us that talk on any podcast you ever listen to have it all together all the time, but secular, that was the word I was looking for. So we both grew up in secular homes and, but anyway, and so we didn't come to, you know, Christ and our faith until our 30s, my husband and I, and then our children were 5, 3, 3, and 1 during that time. And it was a tumultuous year. We almost lost my husband that year. We almost lost one of my daughters that year. And then someone invited us to church for Christmas. And it really started changing. But I was reading the Bible and I was like, this is the wisest book ever. You know, it was, I mean, it was just part of the learning process and coming to know Christ. But in doing that, I was picking out, and as a parent at that point, but now I'm a parent of, you know, teenagers, there, it is really the richest book of wisdom that is out there. And, you know, no matter where you lie on the faith spectrum, that wisdom is going to be applicable in your life, absolutely, hands down. And so I really wanted to put this together for all families to know these are scriptures that can absolutely help you in conversations that need to be had, because so many of our young women out there are walking around feeling alone and worthless, and that no one hears them or sees them and they don't belong anywhere. But the scriptures and conversations we go through in that book that you're referring to really dig into those conversations to have, instead of just assuming that they're doing okay because they have a smile on their face, or just assuming that they're doing okay because they got an A on their math test or a B on their math test. And, you know, they're seem to be doing quote unquote okay or fine, right? That's one of the F words that's not allowed in our house is fine. How are you doing? Fine. No, how are you actually doing? Right. And so, yeah, it dives into those conversations, because our job as parents is truly to equip them individually for the world that they're going to meet out there and how they can live and thrive and succeed in it with the gifts and talents that they have. And so that takes conversations, intentional conversations right now within what I call the 65-70. That's how many days are in 18 years. And so that 6,570. And usually by the time people are even cognizant or aware that, hold on, they're not going to be babies forever. Hold on. We're not just going to be this family unit, you know, forever and ever. A lot of times, half of that time is already gone, if not more. And, you know, my daughters today are 19, 16, 16, and 14. And, you know, I was just telling my husband the other day, I was like, who gave these kids the right to grow up, you know?
I know, right?
And I was like, who did that? I was like, oh yeah, I guess we gave birth to them, you know.
Yeah, it goes so fast. So it but really how did does. How did you select and pick each of these? Because there's 40 scriptures in the book. Mm-hmm. How did you select, what was the process for you to, because I mean, even myself, I haven't read the whole Bible, you know, I read the Bible, but not all of it. So how did you select those particular, you know, passages?
Well, they're ones that have really stood out to me. If you look in my Bible, which is right next to my my computer right here, it is marked up, you know, front to back. And I've been through the Bible, I think, almost 6 times now. And so I have really, you know, read through that Old Testament, New Testament, and all the different parts, and really found, you know what, that resonates. That's a conversation that needs to be had. And so I really got it from that. But also understanding the foundation that needs to be built in young women and all children. I in particular, my work focuses on young women, but the foundation of worth, esteem, and confidence. So I really went through and focused on those things. What does the Bible say about self-worth, right? Where does our worth come from? It doesn't come from Instagram. It doesn't come from what the girl, you know, sitting next to you in math class, you know, thinks about your outfit that day. It doesn't even come from what, you know, Uncle Rob or whatever says, But where does worth come from, and how do we actually grow it from the inside out instead of the outside in? So that was part of the inspiration for those scriptures. And then the next one would be esteem, which is value and appreciation of self. So where does our value come from? It is different than worth. You know, where does our value come from? It really has to do with trust. How can we learn to trust ourselves, learn to trust the Lord, and learn to the best of our abilities to trust the world around us? Because we can't control anyone but us, right? But how can we know how we can trust others? So that is part of the esteem. And then confidence is all about equipping yourself with tools that work specifically for you to, so you can do what you need to do and believe in yourself that you are on this side of the bridge. There is some sort of challenge, some sort of discipline, what have you, that needs to happen. And then you can get to the other side. You can look at that bridge and say, I know this lies in front of me, but I know I can get to the other side. And that's what confidence really is, true belief in self. Not the inflated ego, again, you know, going back to some things that people can mistake for confidence, but true inner confidence.
I was going to ask you, you know, what would be the most important things we have to do to raise them with confidence? So that would be what you just said then.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a tool that I teach in my work called the EMP, and that is really mapping out a tool specifically for that child that is their emotional, mental, and physical tools that they can use in order to, and there's a bunch of different sections in it, right? In order to build relationships, keep friendships, do, you know, well at school, finances, their faith journey, their purposes that they see in their, you know, close and even long-term future. So there's all these things, and they are different. You know, I have four daughters. They are truly four corners of a square. They could not be more different, even the twins. And their EMPs all look very different. And my husband and I do these too. But it is a tool that we can work on together. I can help them with, they can do in their spare time, but then they can put it up on their wall and they know, okay, if I get stuck, these are the 3 to 5 things that I need to do in order to move forward with this. Because so many of us just feel like we're walking around with the weight of the world on our shoulders and we can't move. There's no way forward. But if you pre-plan intentionally for that, you could say, wait a second, I know this and I know what I need to do because I figured it out when I was calm and not stressed and not going through this, right? I figured out what I need to do in order to walk forward through this challenge.
So is that something you would recommend for them to be able to lead, you know, in the future? To
absolutely
use that kind of tool, right?
Okay. So all of this work, the foundation of worth, esteem, and confidence, and the bedrock that goes underneath that I talk about, because all of my work is really at the cross section and what I believe is the most strongest cross section of biology, psychology, faith, and culture. So you have to understand your body. You have to, especially as parents, we need to understand where our kids' brains are, you know, and when they're going through something, and understand they are not just, you know, small in stature adults, they're actually different in their brain right now. And understanding that can give you a lot of grace. I took my daughter to summer camp this morning, and she left the house with 2 left shoes. I had to turn around and come back. She's like, we're going to be late. Oh my goodness. I could just wear this on my right foot. I'm like, girlfriend, you cannot wear a left shoe all day on your right foot. And she was like, yes, I can. It's fine. No, you cannot. Let's turn around. She's 14. Yeah. So anyway,
yeah.
All that to be said. And so really diving in and building all of these things lead up to what I call self-discipline leadership, because, you know, not everyone is going to be a leader of other people in the world. You know, some of us are just employee. And I say just, there's very important employees out there, but you aren't leading other people, but you always, always have to lead yourself, no matter what. And that's really missing in a lot of our young adults today. And even in some of our older adults, they don't know how to lead themselves even, and then their lives are falling apart around them. And it's really sad to see. So all of this foundation builds up to self-discipline leadership, so you can go out and be successful in the world in whatever is your unique purpose, talent, gifts, etc.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's really important because, like you say, if you don't know how to lead yourself, you might follow people that you're not supposed to.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know, with the raise, you know, of social media and all the kids being, you know, on it, how do you do with your children? How do you manage with your, they're kind of adult now. You said you have one that's 19, and so maybe not the two oldest, but the one who's 14, is she on social media? Does she follow people? And how do you manage this? It's really hard to put them away from this.
It can feel impossible sometimes. So all of our girls have been, again, through their individual journeys with what they wanted, right? And so they come to us if they want something, a different platform or et cetera. We talk about it. We set up really healthy boundaries. And then we have a box in our room that at 6 o'clock the phones go into. And so because they don't need to be on it any later than that during the day. Now, if they're not home, that's, you know, another thing. But when they come home, then it needs to go in there if they're at work or school function, et cetera. But 6 o'clock, the phones go in there, and they don't get them first thing in the morning either. It's really like 11 o'clock in the morning or so. 11 to 6 is the good window for phone usage. And then during that, it doesn't mean they can be on their phones for 7 hours as much as they would love to, right? Sometimes. And so it's in there, or they're in the box, but from 11 to 6, they can have them. And then they play games, connect with friends, make plans, etc. But it really just like a half hour to an hour. And we talk about their screen time. If you have an iPhone, I know we all do. You can scroll all the way over and see what the screen time was for that day. Sometimes they'll be stuck in a Minecraft world or whatever. And they're like, ooh, went over it, right? Or whatever it is. But things like that, we talk about. I mean, that's creative work, right? When they're in Minecraft world, it's not like they are scrolling Instagram. There's a big difference between scrolling Instagram for 2 hours or, you know, building a Minecraft world for an hour or so, right? There is a big difference there, and helping them understand that too. But outside of that, those healthy boundaries, never, never, never in the room overnight. That is a very big no-no. And sharing the space with them is really important if they are on social. So each one of our kids is on a different, some of them overlap social platforms, but no more than two, any of them have. And my youngest, my 14-year-old, is on social. She's on Instagram, but it's because she has a business. So she wanted to go to, she wanted to go to Costa Rica. And so that was her choice. And so she had to pay for it. And it was about a, you know, $4,000 trip. And so I was like, so how are you going to do this? You know, I'm so interested. She was 13 at the time. And she was like, well, I'm going to start a business. And, you know, lo and behold, she certainly did. And she started a business called Pup Tugs, and they're dog toys. And she sells them all around the United States. And she raised her money, went to Costa Rica in March. So,
are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm very impressed. I am very impressed.
Yeah. And so she has social media for marketing for her Pup Tugs business. But I'm a part of that, and I, you know, help her with that and things like that. And then, yeah, so really sharing the space with them. When I ask my twins aren't on Instagram, but my oldest one is. And so we share videos back and forth. Oh, what are you know, learning or seeing on there today? And it's usually puppy videos or, you know, some funny, cute little things or what have you. And we share that space and talk about it. And so when it comes to the social media space, I am not one to say absolutely not, right? Because like for my youngest daughter, it was really helpful for her in her business growth, right? And if we would have said absolutely not, then it would have been harder for her to raise that money for Costa Rica. But you need to do it with healthy boundaries. There needs to be a good solid why behind that. You need to talk about what that why is and go into it with eyes wide open. And I really recommend families watch things like the Social Project and different documentaries out there. So kids are very aware of how they are being manipulated because they are businesses built on advertising, right? Yes. And so you need to make sure that they are aware and have those really serious discussions about that. And so they know if they are going down a rabbit hole that they don't want to go on or they shouldn't be on, et cetera, how to, you know, get out and back out and how to stay in a positive path in that world. It kind of reminds me if anyone, any of your listeners have seen Pinocchio, right? It's like the donkey playground where they're all playing in there. And if you don't know what you're doing and where you're going in there, you absolutely will get lost and turn into a donkey. So,
I mean, in your case, it's like the, you know, the dream situation. You know, your daughter, she has this account to open a little business. She went to Costa Rica? Because I just came from Costa Rica, actually.
Oh, that's did you?
That, yeah, yes. We just went on vacation there. It was very nice. Did she go?
She went. She went in March and had a great time. All of my kids. It's funny. My husband and I, we have not been out of the country. But in the last year, my oldest went to Paris. My twins went to Peru. They just got back like 2 weeks ago. And then my youngest was in Costa Rica. So my kids are traveling. But, you know, these are all trips that they've saved up for and worked for. And I mean, you name it. And I mean, the Peru trip especially was, it was, you know, about $5,000. And people are like, well, wow, how did they do that? And I was like, they watered people's flowers. They worked at the pizza place. They worked at the sandwich place. They worked at the cheese place. They babysat. they filed people's filing cabinets for them. I mean, they did, you name it, but they made it there and it made it so much more special for them to get on the plane and know they owned that, you know, they got there through hard work and perseverance. Even if they wanted to veg out on the couch and watch some Netflix one night, they're like, no, I got to go babysit again or what have you. But they made it and they did it.
Yeah, maybe for the next trip, I'm going to ask my daughter. She's only 11, but she went to Costa Rica doing nothing. So maybe, you know, I should ask her next time to water, you know, the neighbor's plant or something. And to contribute a little bit.
Absolutely.
So it looks like in your family you have a very nice dynamic. So what would you say to parents who are not at that level yet? How do you build connection and communicate, you know, with clarity with your child? What would you say to them?
Listen, our family is just as crazy and nitpicky and bickery as, you know, anyone else's out there, but I have a sign actually right behind the computer as I'm going downstairs that says, choose joy. And our life is completely built on the choices that we make. And so if you are in the midst of a storm, it really comes down to what are you choosing to focus on? Are you choosing to focus on the problem or the solution? And in that solution, are they things that are attainable or are they things that are just pipe dreams, right? So you want to focus on things that are short-term goals that can be done. So, you know, just an example, if you have a child that is not talking to you right now and there's a communication barrier in there, you can say, my goal today is just to get a hello, right? My goal today is just to get a hello. And you have to do your part. They need to know that you see them so often. You know, the pillars of worth are to be seen, heard, loved, belong, and have a purpose. And our kids need to absolutely know that we see them and hear them and love them and they belong here and they have a purpose here as well. If you look at any issue that any young adult or teenager has brought to the surface, or if you watch the news, it is always, and I say that, I've never seen one that is not. So there might be one out there, I don't know. But it is always the antithesis of one of these, right? I don't feel seen. No one sees me, right? Yeah. No one loves me. I don't belong anywhere. I have no purpose. Why am I here? Right? No one wants to hear what I have to say, right? That is always, that seems to be what is always cooking there. So if we can, in our homes, teach them you are seen, heard, loved, belong, and purpose, and teach them how to find that inside out, God, and, you know, God out from the inside out, then we are really setting them on a positive path. So my point in saying that is when they come into the room, put down your phone, put down what you are doing, and look them in the eye and say, hey, so-and-so, say their name. The brain has this beautiful light up feature when our names are used. So not just hey or hey you or whatever it is, but hey, the name, how are you, right? We have to lead as parents. You know, what I teach is take the lead, right? We need to love and lead them to a place where they love and lead themselves. So if there is a conflict, even though it is 99.9% their fault or lies on their shoulders, we have to own our part and we need to take the lead towards solution so they learn in the future how to do that for themselves. So just put whatever down, say hello, say their name. Don't get defensive, even though that is my go-to reaction. So I completely understand any of your listeners that are like, yeah, but they're just so rude. And I'm like, I get it. But just understand that you are on a very short path, the 6570, right? 6,570 days. There is an off ramp coming and we need to be able to help mold them and shape them during this time that we have with them, during this moldable time of brain development, because we are going to go from coach to consultant real quick toward the end of this. And a lot of times we're not ready for it. And then you're in consultant phase and they're, you know, 19, 25, 30, what have you. And you're like, oh, I really wish I could coach, you know, them back through this. And so now is the time. Now is the time.
I loved what you just said. Going from coach to consultant, that's exactly, I'm starting to feel, not already with my 11 years old, but yeah, I know it's coming very fast. And you know, when you were talking about being available for them, I have a 2-year-old and she's already showing me that I need to be present. If I am on my computer, she will slam the computer. She's calling me and if I don't reply right away and I say yes with her name, you know, she would slam the computer. Computer, close it down. Like, I'm talking to you. Listen to me. And my other, my 11, she will start dancing in front of me. Like dancing, you know, like.
Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. Yeah, pay attention.
See me.
Completely understand everything. So can you tell us, you have another book that I saw that you wrote, No Problem Parenting Book.
Mm-hmm,
is it everything you just told us about? Is that some extracts or?
Yeah.
What can you tell us about this book?
Problem Parenting is, it's right back there. I always have that one on. No Problem Parenting is a book I co-authored and all of the pillars of worth are in there in the section that I wrote about. So yeah, that is a fantastic book. Heavily recommend. And that is where you will find the pillars of worth. And then this year I am working on my first solo book, nonfiction full solo, not just a scripture journal. And not that the scripture journal is anything to scoff at. It's a great book. But anyway, I'm working on my first full book this year. So yeah. And that will be about this entire foundation that I've talked about and how to actually do it. Because here's the thing. So many people say, there's not a book on parenting or there's not a book on how to raise this child. There are so many books on parenting. There are so many, and I have read many of them over the years, but there was never a book on how to raise my daughter, right? My one daughter. And then comes more sisters. What about that daughter? What about that daughter or that daughter? And so that's what this book that I'm writing now is going to be able to do, is teach you how to specifically raise your daughter. It's the blueprint for that, so that you can raise her in the unique way that she needs to have this foundation built in order to have success in her life.
And did you find that was helpful reading the scripture with them?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I have one that I saw on your website. I really like the one from Matthew. 5:14-16. I'm going to read it for the listeners.
Yeah.
So it says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That really touched me. I really thought about my daughter when I saw that. So I guess that's something you read to them or you show them to show them, you know, their worth.
Absolutely. Yeah. We read through the scripture and we talk about, you know, their takeaways from it. And then in the scripture journal, there's just some questions about that. So what does it look like for you to share your light with the world? What do you think your light is that you can share with the world? And then we go around and have a family discussion about it. And it's great because it only takes like 10, 15 minutes. It's a great time that the family can come together, because if your family is anything like mine, we're in 1,000 directions all day long. And so it's just kind of our meeting point that we can have. And we're all, you know, sitting in the living room. We have a giant couch with 6 adult-sized people anyway. And so we're all sitting there and we can talk through these and bounce ideas off of one another and just have that place of, oh, yes, this is the book that I go to for ultimate wisdom. I know I am worthy. This is the light that I have to share. And this is how I'm going to share it, you know, specifically to that scripture there. And, yeah. You know, Dan Allender has a great quote that I love too. I just shared this with my family, and it says, you are the only you this world will ever know. And you represent a piece of God the world needs to see. And, I love that. And it's so true. Yeah. And it fits along with that scripture too, right? You are the only you the world will ever know. And we each have this unique, beautiful piece of God within us that it is our job to shine that out into the world.
Yeah, this is really, I mean, the Bible here, there's so many stories in there, so many quotes in there, so many verses that are really worth sharing. It's unbelievable. It's never ending. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Are you offering service to people? Can people come to you for advice? Or
yeah, absolutely.
What do they come to you for usually?
So I have a program called Take the Lead, which is walks mm-hmm. through a lot of this foundational work, and that is self-guided. And so that is available on my website. And then I do one-on-one as well. And so that is also available. Just contact me, and either myself or my assistant will get back to you about how we can help. And then there's free resources all available on the website as well, masterclasses, etc. So all of mm-hmm. that is available.
That's great. So I will put, of course, all the information on the show notes, you know, if mm-hmm. people want to contact you and reach you. And do you want to add anything maybe we didn't talk about that you wanted to listen to know?
No, I think one of the best things to understand is it is never too late. You don't want to seek after perfection. And because we need to teach our kids how to rise back up after they fall down, we really need to take the lead in this way during the 65-70. But I think a great way to wrap this up would be 2 Timothy 1:7, which is my life verse, which is, you were not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And there's so many times as a parent that we have to be on our knees, you know, either physically or just mentally, and know I have power, I have love, and I have self-discipline, right? Because our human nature is going to be to snap back or to, you know, be way too harsh with punishment and not have consequences, right? One of my daughters is going through a consequence phase right now, and she kept referring to it as a punishment in the beginning. I was like, this is not a punishment. This is a consequence. This is something to positively build you toward where you need to be. And so she was like, oh, yes, I know, you know, it's so funny. But yeah, I mean, punishments are for, you know, other things outside of the home. The home doesn't need punishments. The home needs consequences and positive discipline to move in a forward direction. Because punishments just stall or hold people back, but consequences can move you forward.
Mm, that's good. There's also some good affirmation that you gave us earlier, you know, I have power and... We really like our affirmation here on High Vibes and Mike. We talked a lot about that. Well, thank you very much, Lily. It was really, really enlightening and very interesting, especially, you know, I have 2 daughters, so I was really excited to talk to you today.
Yeah.
Do you think there's something, I mean, because, no, boys and girls are very different, but do you think there's something that can be also applied to boys? Because Sylvia has 3 boys.
Yes, yes. And yes, yes, and yes. And in my private work, I work both with young women and young men, but in the project that I have, the Take the Lead. It is specifically for young women because it's for parents and for young women themselves. But the foundation needs to be built no matter what. The difference, remember I said I work at biology, psychology, faith, and culture, is really that biology piece, because a young man's brain is different than a young woman's brain. And so we really need to understand that, understand how they work. And then the psychology piece is their individuality. It's how they relate to the world on an individual basis and how the world relates to them, how they teach, how they learn, etc. So yes, the foundation needs to be there for all young adults that are, you know, going off into the world and needs to be built within the 65-70. Absolutely.
Okay, great. Perfect. Thank you very much. And for anyone, you know, want to contact you, we will have all the information in the show notes. And good luck on the book.
Thank you so much. Gotta go get writing.
Yeah. Maybe we talk to you after you know you're done with it. We can talk about it again.
Sounds great. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Thank you for tuning in to High Vibes and the Mic. Until next time, laugh hard, stay silly, and never forget to bring your sense of humor. Please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.